Welcome to the Ether. Today is Thursday, June 9th, 2022. Today on the Ether, Super Terra and the Space Ape Society AMA. Let's take a listen.
So we'll look to kick things off. In the best spirit of all the many spaces I've done, this is one of the great ones where we had a little bit of a chat earlier today. It was like, oh, could you host it? I was like, yeah, absolutely. I'm very, very used to that, and it feels in many ways like, you know, we're getting back to old times, dare I say it. Clearly, the seismic crash that we all know about. I think possibly we're having some issues with various speakers struggling to keep connected, which never changes. That's one of the constants of life. That the Twitter spaces rugs people.
As opposed to, make sure we're not getting rugged in crypto, we get rugged in spaces.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of life's great consistencies. I've been chatting with the excellent founder of the Space Ape Society for quite a long time, really. And then this afternoon, my time, we just had a bit of a chat, and it was, oh, do you want to do a Spaces later? We kind of agreed the time and everything, and hopefully we'll get quite a number of people here. Lots going on. Obviously, this is now the second pivot. I'm not sure if you're back up on stage or not. We seem to have had a few issues here, so we'll try and get various speakers up. So the intention, as always with these sorts of events, for those who've not attended before, I don't do a kind of a grilling AMA. It's meant to be, you know, very relaxed and a chance really for everyone to understand, yeah, a lot more about the project and also to get questions from the floor. The one thing I don't have that I normally do have, because at the moment I'm skint and I got wiped out in Terra, I normally have some nice things to give away, but unfortunately, not just yet. But as DeFi knows, we're building back up, so I'm sure there'll be opportunities in the future. So really, over to you, Spaced Ape. I think for me, probably a great starting point for those either listening now or, as always, thank you to Terra Spaces who do an absolutely superb job. I know I say this every time, but they do. And I always want to reemphasize this. So anyone listening now or listening later, donations are always welcome. Finn does an incredible job of capturing the unfolding world of crypto as it happens, some good, some bad, and many in between. And I think it's a really important service that he's doing here. So thank you, as always, to Finn. So over to you, Spaced Apes. We first chatted in Terra. We then had a chat in Solana. And here we are with another change again. But really great for you to maybe just give everyone a little bit of an overview of the project, and we'll get underway.
Guys, hi, we're the Space Ape Society. I think, like Super Terra has already said, initially we all started off with Terra Luna as our initial protocol in terms of where we were going to launch. And then we all had the same feeling. The funny thing is, it all happened day before my birthday, which was while I was away. So that wasn't the best experience at the time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, and then I got told the day after that I'm getting made redundant at work as well. So they kept on coming. All the gifts kept on coming at once.
That's just really quite cruel, I think. Hopefully, at least it wasn't on your birthday. That's the one comfort I would take.
Well, it is what it is. We look at different ways, you know. I tend to like to look at things with a half glass full kind of mentality and approach, that, you know what, things happen for a reason. We change, we pivot, and we move on. And we did do so with Sol, moving on to Solana. And then what we found of recent with Solana, I think this might be a consensus between the team. We just felt like it probably wasn't the right platform for our project and what we're trying to achieve as trying to be our long-term vision is trying to be a blue chip in terms of a project within a blockchain. And we felt that, you know, being on Solana, the majority of the community wanted us to go Solana, but I think they were thinking just of the blockchain rather than what we were thinking about long-term goals and where we want to be in terms of our folks, where we want to be in terms of our roadmap and how we want to kind of come across to the rest of the community and how we want to establish ourselves as a brand. So and then of late, we just recently kind of had a little meeting and a get together. And that's when we kind of come up with approach to go with Stargaze, because just seeing all the new up and coming things on there and being able to kind of establish ourselves early on that platform and be potentially one of the blue chips for Stargaze. And hopefully we can start bringing in a different cross community, because the benefit of being on Terra and being on Solana is we've kind of cross-pollinated with our community. So we've got people from different walks of, you know, there might be like a Solana Maxi or a Terra Maxi. So we brought a different mix of people into our community, and now we're moving them into the Stargaze community as well. So, you know, added different kind of views and approaches of people coming onto Stargaze. So if anything, it's just a benefit for Stargaze, benefit for us as well as a project. And then just recently, we have added the beautiful Meta May to our team. She is our community leader, project leader in terms of on Discord. She's also leading in terms of communications, and we've also added Deploidon as well for all the talents he has in terms of smart contracts and dev work. So we are branching out and making our team bigger. We started off quite a small team, and we just proven in terms of the size of the team, and adding, more than anything, adding quality to our team. That's what we're trying to do right now, and really picking people that really can bring value to what we're doing as a project, and that our vision aligns with what their vision aligns with us. So that's where we are at the moment, guys. In terms of minting, I'm sure everyone knows now, especially in our community, we are minting on the 27th of June, and that is going to be on Stargaze, and we are going to be minting for 777. That's the price that we felt is reasonable within what we've worked on, the value put on the work, the time and effort we've put into it. Like I say, it was a lot more expensive when we were on Luna, but prices change in regards to it. So we've kind of gone with something where it's accessible to everybody. And then we can obviously see where we move on with our further collections.
That's great and a fantastic summary. I'd like to just probe a little bit more about Solana before we close that off, because obviously there was a positive decision made at the, you know, collapse of Luna to move to Solana. What was it that ultimately made you sort of pivot? Was it kind of internal thought, or was it kind of community driven, or was it in fact the rise of Stargaze that kind of caught your attention as a better, more fertile ground? I'm just interested, because obviously a lot of projects at the kind of the death knell of Luna quickly made their moves, a number to Solana, a number to ETH, some to Algorand. There are others looking at chains such as Juno. I'm always fascinated by kind of the internal thought processes, and I just wanted really just to explore that a little bit before we then move on to a little bit more about the art style and obviously future plans.
Yeah, I think that's something that I'd like to give my view on it, but I think DeFi can give his view on it. Mm-hmm. I think May can give her view on it, and so can ApeSci give his view on it. For me, it was personally is what I was started seeing within the Solana network. I'm not without saying too much, I wasn't happy the way Solana is progressing, especially on secondary markets and things of that nature, and also the way the network has been going down quite often, and we had that recently. So we were looking at what would benefit the guys that are currently with us in terms of what kind of blockchain would work for them. And also we saw the innovations that are coming through Stargaze and the uprise, and we thought it's a potential for us. And after we sat down and had a discussion about what we weighed up the pros and cons of Solana and Stargaze, we just felt as a team that it's probably, for us right now, it's probably the best place for us to start. And like you said, the it's all about the long-term goal, and it's not the short-term vision. We're always looking about what we can do in the future and where we can see Stargaze going. And that's something that I think I didn't know much about until kind of DeFi gave me more information on it, and then I did my research on it, and I understood what the future holds for something like and that kind of blockchain, and how we can kind of move into that Cosmos area, and how we can kind of expand, and so many different innovations going on at the same time. So I think it's just fruitful at the moment, and getting in early is always better than staying somewhere where you feel like you're not going to make as much of an effect or have effect on the greater community in terms of Solana. And I just felt like I say, it's quite saturated there. And what we try to do as a project, are we going to have as much effect on the greater community being on Solana, or would we have that on Stargaze? And that's what kind of tipped the balance for me.
Great. Other team member thoughts?
I think I might just chime in here quickly. So I just been brought onto the project about like a couple of days ago or about a week ago. And I know that one of my team's prior projects initially was on Solana. And our experience over there, I mean, the community is great and there's a lot of good things about it, but just the outages with the actual network itself. And I think that like some of the issues there, as well as like the way that like the programming is done over there on Solana as well, it just makes it a little bit more difficult. It doesn't make it as consistent. And so I would hate for us to actually get up to that launch date and then have an outage for like 8 hours like there was previously not too long ago. And so that was one of the things we wanted to consider, but also just staying over on the Cosmos, making sure that we were staying with like a similar type of crowd, people that we'd already built up the community with and that were, you know, slightly familiar with Stargaze. I know the marketplace still has some improvements we made, but I think it could potentially be one of the different blockchains where they're going to build out, you know, these really cool marketplaces as they did over on Terra. So I think there's so much potential. I think, you know, everyone on Terra is kind of looking for somewhere new to go, and staying on the Cosmos just felt so right. So I think ultimately that was our decision there, but I'm really excited. And I think that, you know, our project being one of the initial ones, there's a lot of potential there as well as to some of the different utilities we can bring over to Stargaze.
Definitely. It's quite interesting because I actually bought one of the very first ever ones on, well, bought, minted, I should say, because yes, who knows, but it was technically bought, was Atom Spheres, if anyone remembers those guys. They launched their second collection. So they started out in Terra and branched out. And I think they were literally one of the very first ones in Stargaze. So I've kind of had these lonely baby atoms for months because there was no way to even trade for a while. But it does look a really cool marketplace, and obviously we've had a really tremendous launch back end of last week with PS Labs with their absolutely breathtaking 2 minute sellout, which I missed because I was faffing about trying to work out how to buy stars. I mean, with that in mind, I guess a really important point is an educational piece. I consider myself reasonably, high level when it comes to manipulating the different chains, but reasonably comfortable. But there are quite a few steps involved. Are you guys planning to sort of help the community basically onboard to stars to make sure they've got, you know, the necessary readies in their pocket and so on?
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why we got Emma actually on board. She's absolutely great, helping the whole community really in regards to sending them certain articles about how to set it up. Like I think it was yesterday Osmosis was down, but again the group, all of the community, they all kicked in, they all put the side of it as well. One thing we're lucky about is that some of our community, they already are on Stargaze, so they understand how it all works. So really seeing everyone kind of putting the input in is really helping us grow as individuals as well. So we're kind of learning as we go, but it's definitely been a great experience, even though it's been a couple of days talking about Stargaze. But I can really see the future in it. That's what I can see. The future, starting off where we are, it really goes with our roadmap as well, in regards to how we want to move in the future as well. So yeah, that's what I believe.
Excellent. And you've nicely, I don't know if it's intentional, nicely teed up my next question. I don't know if DeFi Jedi, you want to kick in as well, because I mean, you are a sort of veteran of a lot of different chains.
By veteran, if you mean degenerate, yes, sir. I do most all of them. And I do. As soon as we had the crash, you know, in Luna, I was immediately working with Solana and Ethereum projects. I'd previously been working with some, you know, during, even while I was in Luna, still had ties to those two chains, and I was familiar with it. And over the last, I want to say, I don't know if it's just even 3 months or 4 months, the dynamic of the build, the sellout, and the manipulation of the market by bigger money over, I want to say, I can't, you know, I don't have the facts to prove exactly what I'm speaking of, but if you watch the few mints that are doing well over there, they're all botted with, you know, 300,000 followers and some craziness, like, and it's not real, it's paid. They've got people with different you know, things that are not exactly what I would call fair play, more cousins, so to speak, if you will.
And I had a so sense that of that with some projects.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
I think seeing that plus the network downturn, and then ultimately knowing that, looking at Stargaze where it's at right now, reminded me of where Nowhere Art and, you know, Random Earth were a year ago. They were just really starting to make a splash, and the opportunity to help them build as well and understand and grow their piece of it, I see as an opportunity with some of the team members in our project. We've done or been with multiple successful projects that I've learned the hard way, and we've learned the best techniques, and we can help bring some of that to Stargaze to help them build. So I think it just made the right fit, and I was 100% for it.
Excellent, excellent. And it does look a really nice UX on the site. I've invited a couple of other speakers up, because obviously we want to kind of, you know, get some AMA from the floor. I've got quite a few more questions, but I can see that Barefoot Rabbits, who's a regular on my spaces over the last few months, and obviously, again, a good cross-chain citizen. I don't know if you want to chip in with a brief question.
Yeah, I just had something off of what a Jedi said real quick. The Sol network, yes, it's a different game and it's more advanced, like definitely botted, and a lot of the big projects have like cousins going on and stuff like that. But what people don't understand is this is just like ETH. Ethereum is doing the same exact thing that Solana is doing. It's just there's so many projects out there on ETH. It's just you can't tell that there's cousins on cousins in that project, because the chances of you getting into a project that their cousins are in, it's pretty hard on ETH. But on Sol, since there's not many projects out there, like, don't get me wrong, there's like 10 projects a day, but in the grand spectrum of them, 10 to 20 projects isn't that much a day. So getting botted and like the cousin stuff, it seems bad, but it actually isn't. There's still like good money to be made on projects. You just got to get that whitelist. That's all that matters. Like on Solana, if anybody's trying to make it there, just all you need is whitelist. You don't have to spend money, make money or anything. You just earn whitelist and you can sell the whitelist token and make money free. You don't have to ever spend anything on Sol. All you have to do is grind. And it sounds sucky because nobody wants to grind, but if all you have to do is grind to make a couple soul, then there's no problem in that fact. And then I wanted to ask, the Space Ape Society, do you guys have like a mandate in general? Because I too want to get into Stargaze, but I just don't know where to start. And maybe I'll start with your guys' NFT.
Yeah, so we've got our mint date on the 27th, 27th of this month, and we are minting for 777 on Stargaze. I think I have how the ideas have been fostered over there now, and how the people are using, marketing strategies to sell out their projects. And of late, if you see a lot of these projects, which are now like 10K plus, and it just seems like it's a place for flips. So if you're looking for a flip, Sol and ETH is your place to be. But if you're looking for a project that has long-term goals, and you know what, from what I understand from when I was on Terra, we foster the same ideas in terms of how the community is getting involved and how that same approach where it comes to when you speak to somebody, they're willing to give you that time. But come to Solana and ETH, it didn't seem like you got that same kind of approach from people or different projects. If you weren't of an Excalibur or a Caliber, or if you didn't have X amount of followers, no one really wanted to have a conversation with you. And we don't want that kind of approach. We want to be able to kind of collab with anybody that wants to kind of improve or anything that they feel like we can bring value to them or that they can bring value to our project. I think that's more important than just the flip, and that's what our project's about. It's not about the flip side of it. Yes, we want our community to make sure they turn a profit on whatever they purchase, but I think it's more the idea and vision that we've got for our project that makes us different in terms of what we were kind of established when we were on Luna.
And I think that's so important. I think the longevity and the community basis is the reason I even really kind of delve deeply into the Terra ecosystem. And like many, fell down the rabbit hole. And obviously, I've now clambered back out. And I have to say, I can see the appeal of Stargaze. And there's a variety of other kind of emerging communities, emerging chains that I think there's a real opportunity to develop a community first feel for. I can see we have another question from the floor, and I will then move on to more details. So Taukira, you've been on a few of my spaces. I don't think we've actually spoken before, but you've always been very patient. You've been rugged a few times, but hopefully you have the floor now.
Yeah, we've been to a few spaces together for sure. A question for the Space Ape Society. What is the utility behind your NFTs, and why Solana? Because this is kind of a question that that always crosses my mind, as why do people specifically pick up a particular blockchain? I get it, like whatever happened to Terra One and whatever everybody has faced because of that. And mostly people move to some of the other chains. But why Solana? Why not Terra 2.0? Or why not any other particular L1 that can facilitate the bridge?
Well, to start off for the question is, we're not on Solana anymore. We are going on to Stargaze. The reason we went to Solana initially was based on the community voting system. And like we've always said, we want to be a bottom-up type of project, or we want the community to decide what we do in terms of approach, how we move forward. But like I said, once we moved over to Solana, we didn't feel like our vision or our type of project kind of suits that kind of realm of blockchain. We're not, like I said earlier, we're not into the flip side of the project. We want to make sure people want to hold the project and see what we're trying to do in terms of a long-term vision. We are looking at trying to improve certain chains. So what we wanted to do in our long-term vision, or like as a utility, is within our treasury, is have proposals for new artists that want to come on board and get onboarded. For example, someone might be out there that's got a real good idea, has got some real good artwork, but doesn't know how to kind of go about the ways of how to kind of promote their project, or how to embed themselves within a blockchain, and how do they do all the other parts of how, what it takes to create an NFT project, but they've got the artwork. So what we want to do is create a kind of platform or a space where artists can come on board and kind of put a proposal together. And then what we can do is we can offer grants. So this is something that we're going to be doing once we do our first mint. So there'll be a percentage of our make going to our towards our grant and our treasury, where you'll be able to apply for grants in terms of, if for example you're an artist and you've got a normie 9-to-5 and you need 2 or 3 months to kind of get your work out there, but you've only got a small sample size done. And what we want to do is give you a grant there where you can think about, right, I don't really need to think about my living costs right now. I've got a grant from this team that covers me for the next couple of months, so I can really get down to getting all my artwork down, which would have been perfect for someone like myself, because obviously at the time I was having to juggle my work and juggle trying to do my project. So it's just, for me, I thought that's a really big thing, where there could be a lot more people out in this space that just don't have the confidence to do a project because they don't know what they need to do or what kind of support they would need to have in regards to how to make a project successful. And that's what we kind of aiming for in terms of our ethos or philosophy, is to kind of support the growth in the right way. Instead, and it in turn, it kind of vets people into the project. So whenever someone comes into the Stargaze platform, they should be, when they've took the grant out with us, they'll be vetted through the governance team and through our team as well. So then we know that the new projects that are coming on, they've got some weight behind them in terms of they're not going to fail or they're not going to fall at the wayside in terms of the project having the right support or the right right needs or utilities or whatever they need to do to make sure that project is successful.
I must say, I really like that initiative, that you kind of reflected on your own challenges, and actually that's something that would massively appeal to a lot of people, that space to think, space to create, space to evolve. So I think, as you know from our own conversations, I have a 9-to-5 and I do this in my spare time, and I'm looking to obviously expand what I do in the crypto space, and it is quite challenging when you're kind of juggling those different aspects. So I really hats off for doing that. That's fantastic. So sorry, Takia, do you want to come back in again?
It's pretty, like, you know, in one way, I know for a lot of developers, for a lot of people who are trying to put out projects, there are a lot of concepts out there. But isn't it, like, more terrifying, to be honest, like, you know, in nowadays, that you are trying to put out a project in a market where things are more unlikely to go downwards than going upwards? Because I think a lot of, I have been, like, you know, interacting, our company, basically, we interact with people from the Web2 space, from, you can say, the blockchain space and the Wall Street guys more often. And we have seen people, like, you know, how the Web3 space guys think are more sentimentally and emotionally connected to the projects, which I really respect, and to a fact that it's right to feel that way. But we neglect some sort of the macroeconomic side of the world, right? And when the developers persuade with such kind of a mindset, it affects the people, especially the community that they believe in. And the communities, when we look at it, is not that big. They're pretty small. They are like you know, in the NFT space, it's not more than 5,000, 6,000 people. We expect that particular project or that particular art to go 100x, 1000x, but we know how congested the NFT space is out there. The financials of it are always, they become the, like, you know, because of the macroeconomics, like, you know, we become victims of it when we are trying to put out a project, irrespective of the fact that how great the project can be or whether the project is not good, whether it has utility or not. But I think my two cents on it is like, I think it's time, or I think it's very important for Web3 based developers and entrepreneurs as well to think about in a way that look at macroeconomics, try and focus on that. And then when you think that you have certain positive notes coming from the macroeconomics, and then try and go for the product launch, which is good for the developers in, and which is also good for the you can say for the your community as well. And I think that's it.
Thank you. I think you're absolutely right. It is early days, and I always say this to people, that if you look at the total number of wallets involved sort of chain by chain, we're still in low numbers, but I find that very exciting in that it means there's a massive room for growth. You know, we're seeing, I think only today, but surreal seeing on my feed Anthony Hopkins asking for advice on NFT purchases and so on. And daft as that sounds, it's that sort of conversation. I think he was talking to Reese Witherspoon and a couple of other famous people who are trying to get into the space. And I just thought it's interesting because it's showing...
They're not enough, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we are less than a $1 trillion economy, and we are talking about, like, when we talk about the active wallet holders, like you rightfully mentioned, you have, even in the crypto space, if we combinedly take, let's say we have 300 million active wallets, and they commonly hold a lot of tokens, and we will say that out of which the biggest problem with the blockchain projects is, let's say you have 100,000 wallets or 200,000 wallets, and your total value is around, like, you know, your TVLs are surpassing $1 billion, something like that. When you look at those specific numbers, then you have the VC power enrolled into it, and these particular VCs actually hold your project by the throat, and they will never hesitate or shy away from actually pressing any nerve when shit hits the fan. And the problem doesn't lie there. The problem lies in the crypto space is the distribution mechanism. Even if you have 100,000 tokens, if you have 100,000, let's say tokens at first, and if it's distributed among the 100,000 wallets, your chances of failing are very low, because across the globe, you cannot convince all the 100,000 wallets to sell at once, considering the human behavior and the sentimental behavior. But in the crypto space, it's more like 70% of, like, you know, 70,000 of these 100,000 wallets are VC controlled, are by, you can say, whale control, who can sell anytime they want. Even if your community stays loyal to you, which is like only comprises of very less percentage of it, who are like, whose wallet amounts are not that big, who are just betting on the bigger VCs or the bigger money that is sitting there to do some magic with their small money as well. So if a product more than emphasizing on the fact that how big of wallet holders they can get rather than how many number of wallet holders they can get, it completely changed the game for any product or any project in a longer term. And especially in times like these, in the bear market like these, because in 1 or 2 days we have the CPI reports coming out, God knows what's going to happen. They might surprise us with 70 BPS rate, 75 BPS rate hike. So they might stick with 50 BPS. Ask any dev, what are you doing about that? Are you planning your product launch around that time? They won't have an idea. Talk about a lot of other macroeconomical factors, what's happening in inflation, et cetera, et cetera. Then we cannot blame the market on that. We have to blame somehow ourselves on that, because, again, our distribution mechanism sucks in the Web3 space. So that's my point.
No, absolutely. And I think so. We'll sort of reflect on that, because I think whenever a project launches, you're not sort of launching in a bubble, if you like. There's always outside factors to consider, and certainly I'm very acutely aware of the macroeconomic position globally is pretty ropey right now. We're seeing traditional stock markets getting hammered. We're seeing lots of grumbles and challenges over living costs and everything else. So we would be remiss to think that crypto is immune from that. And you can certainly trace the recent performance of Bitcoin to the declining global markets. And that's partly due to the fact they are heavily intertwined, to the point that you made there with regards to there's a lot of whale capital coming in. And that whale capital, I know from my, if you like, trad job, is getting squeezed at the moment. And they're pushing that squeeze onto the companies that they own or control. I'm really, really would love to have a further chat on this. I think it's a really fascinating subject. But I'm conscious that we've got the lovely people from the Space Ape Society, and I've got quite a few more questions that have come through that I'm really keen to put to the team. Obviously, we've established that the mint is happening on Stargaze. It's happening on the 27th of June at a price of 777 stars. I think it'd be really good to also explore, and it was teased out a little bit earlier before we went off on a tangent, a little bit more about the roadmap and the plans around the longer term for the project. I know we've talked about the really well thought out idea of creating a grant and community fund, which I think is really important. But any other aspects you could tease out, and also probably related to that, some of the elements of how the whitelisting process will work, and if there's any kind of special benefits. I've got a question here. Special benefits of being an OG.
So we could talk a bit more about the roadmap. I think initially what I'd like to talk about the roadmap and what we've talked with the team is that we want to keep the roadmap as organic or as holistic as possible, because we want to keep it fluid. There's certain points in the roadmap that we want to achieve, but getting, it's just how the journey looks like getting there can be different. So there's not a specific kind of time we've got, our timeline that we're kind of working towards. It's just making sure we hit those markers at some point of this project. So that's what we want to do in terms of keeping it all holistic, because in terms of, we want to know what the community we want next, and if they want to see this part of the project come through next, because they've already seen most of the initial phase of the roadmaps, we want them to kind of take lead in where we take the project. Obviously the team will be taking lead in terms of certain aspects, but we want the community kind of to have that kind of more bottom up approach in terms of they tell us what we want to see, and we kind of produce on the back of that. So the next phase that you'll be able to see in our roadmap, after we do the first mint, we'll be doing something called the swap shop. And what that is we're going to be, so initial volume of that we will be on mint would be 4,269. That's going to be the total amount, but we will have an extra 1,000 NFTs that we will be minting. So what we're thinking of doing, and what we wanted to do in terms of the swap shop idea, was we're looking at people that may have minted more than 4 NFTs, or if you're an OG member, what you've got privileges. If you've got 2 NFTs that you feel are the non-desirables, what you can do is you can go to the swap shop and trade 2 of them for a more of a desirable piece, in terms of if you're looking at the trades and looking at the trade value wise, and you can trade 2 in for a 1 that we've got within the collection, the other extra 1,000. And then we're going to be running that until we finish that 1,000 off. Or what will happen is we've not kind of consummated in terms of the time limit we want to do it for, but we want to do it within a certain time frame, and get that kind of out there. What that helps with the original collection, if the holders that have the original collection, is the people that trade will automatically be a deflationary in terms of the original collection. So with that 1,000, you're looking at 2. If everyone kind of wants to trade 2 of theirs for 1 that we've got in the swap shop collection, what will happen? We're already reducing the original collection by 2,000. So it keeps that kind of value for the Genesis collection. And it makes sure that, you know, the people that are still holding, it could be still holding a common, but because the volume has gone down, that should automatically go become more rarer in hindsight. So that's the first kind of element that we're looking at once we've done our mint. We're just looking at the processes in terms of which way we want to go. There's two ways that we can take this. We've got either go down the route of what Heroes did in terms of using it in terms of a smart contract, or we can go down the same route of like the Coffee Club where they did it. It was a kind of more of a manual thing. So like you said, those kind of processes are a bit more kind of fluid in terms of what we want to do, but that would be the next step for us. And then following that, what we would like to do is start working on the next collection that I've been working on for the serums. So the serums will be, there will only be 1,000 serums again. So 500 we're looking at to airdrop and give away through our community, through engagement, through value, through resource, through research and things like that we want to do. And the second other 500 will be put onto like a secondary market where you can mint them. And what they will do is they've got a separate utility. I can't discuss what the utility is behind them, but it's a real valuable utility behind the serum. So once you, another that will, that what that will do as well is reduce your original collection again down by a further 1,000. So like I said, we want to bring that original collection down as small as we can. And then once you use a serum on your NFT, what will happen? It'll mutate it. And then that has two utilities, and they are closely linked to the second and third collection. And then after that, we have got the second collection that we've got coming out, which will be our human collection. The human collection is comprised of up to 3,000 NFTs, but like I said, we're still kind of thinking about what kind of size we want to do depending on demand and supply. And then the final collection we have are going to be 3D apes. That's where we are at the moment. But like I said, it's still fluid in terms of where we want to go with the project. But those are the kind of key points that we want to achieve.
That's excellent. And you beat me to the questions as you put them out, because I was going to ask you about the deflationary aspects there. So the two into one with the burn, which takes those two original, if you like, less desirable ones out, allows you for the swap shop. And then obviously the serums, which will mutate an original collection piece. That sounds great. I think lots of different facets to it already. The other question that I had, as we've covered, I think most of them, I'm not seeing any fresh ones coming through, but quick question on the mint size, how many you can actually mint was one question that came through. Which is probably a quick one to answer. And I'm also interested in, and I know a number of projects are looking at this, a good example being Stone Ducks. Are you looking at the kind of the apparel merchandising side of it? So obviously you've got some very distinctive art there. Is that something you've thought of as well?
Yes. What I'd like to do is I'll answer the first part of the question. What was the first part of the question?
Just literally someone was asking how many, and it might not be something you know yet, if you've obviously got whitelist, how many NFTs could you mint in that whitelist phase?
So we are looking at the moment, what we want to do is try to get as many holders as possible. What we want to do is reduce the volume of what people can mint. So that's where OGs come into it. OGs will be able to probably, we're saying roughly around about 20 to mint for an OG, or 20 or 30. I think we've seen on Stargaze now, you can mint up to 50 per person. That's what we've seen with majority of the projects on there. But we feel like that might be too many, and there's not enough holders in terms of our project, and we want more holders rather than a one person holding a larger volume. So we want to go, like say, with OGs, we're probably saying up to about 20 or 30, not been fully decided yet. But then we want to go for whitelist. We are looking at around about 15 for whitelist, and then the general public should get about, there'll be about 10 for general public. That's what kind of, what we're looking at the moment. Like I said, that can change from now until mint, but that's the kind of general kind of framework that we're looking at in terms of how many holders we want against how many people, how many holders against how many NFTs. And like I say, Stargaze is still kind of growing at the moment, so the volume of people aren't there at the moment. So it might mean, like I say, there'll be less holders with more NFTs with less holders. But we're trying to kind of see if we can kind of break that mold a little bit and have kind of more people holding pieces rather than one person holding a large volume of it, and can probably change the way the flow works in terms of if they hold a certain volume, and they can, the floor price could go down or up depending on how it works. And then obviously the law, what we're talking about, the work that we've done, and that's something that's going to be probably more in the realm what DeFi can probably answer in regards to what we can do with the product side of what we're trying to do in terms of merchandising. He's got real good connections in terms of where we can look to get a partner involved to kind of produce the work. But what we would want to do is giving everyone that buys a piece, they'll have their IP to their NFT, so they can create a hoodie or a t-shirt or a cap. But what we want to do is probably create some designs and then kind of integrate them into like a real quality piece of clothing. So like you say, a t-shirt or a hoodie or a cap, and just kind of look at that side of it. But that's more kind of what we want to do. That is a bit more further on in the roadmap once we've kind of established ourselves as a brand, established ourselves as a community, established ourselves as an NFT project.
Excellent. Now that's I'll probably put you on the spot a little bit with that one, but I think I just like the art style. I can see there's obviously opportunities there. DeFi, do you want to add anything to that in terms of the potential merchandise and so on?
Yeah, well, the merchandise side, there are some good examples out there, but the vast majority of NFT merchandise that you see is very subpar. It's usually a screen print or a iron-on, and they do just a block or something. So before we even touch the that side of producing it and giving out, I used to do sports uniforms for baseball, college, softball teams, stuff like that. So one of my old friends, he does, has one of the biggest sublimation companies in the US. And so we can actually do fully sublimated, hoodies and stuff to where we could potentially have a solid, print all the way through where it's in the actual, apparel instead of being like an iron-on or some garbage like that. And a lot of those guys are trying to make a big buck off of it. The goal for me is to bring the best possible value to the team and to the community. So I'll be exhausting all of my connections to help bring that part of the piece of the puzzle to the product. And, kind of seeing the Stone Ducks have just started releasing theirs, and it's their first round, and it's quality. It looks good. It feels good. We want to be at that level, or better. We want to be I think they're doing some holder collection later that's going to be even better. So I want to be able to, at that level to where if you're a holder and you're buying one of these, you get the quality of work that the quality of art represents that you're printing too.
Excellent. I must admit the Stone Ducks were the inspiration in my mind when I thought of that question. So yeah, very much something I really admire. So yeah, sorry, you had a little connection issue there. So I don't know if anyone else wants to step up from the floor, ask any more questions. Otherwise, we'll look to do a sort of a last sort of round the table and look to wrap up. Obviously, always a pleasure. I know it was a fairly sort of short notice thing, but always great to jump on these. Feels like the world's getting back to normal. We're talking about positive things, positive moves forward, and that's to be applauded. Stargaze looks like an excellent early stage marketplace, high quality visual appeal, and actually, when you think about how long it's been running, it looks like it's well established, in terms of its look and feel. So I'm looking forward to minting. I need to just
work out how to get more stars, and I'll be set for that on the 27th. And I think it's certainly ahead of that. I'm sure there'll be more conversations. It'd be great to get you guys back on sort of perhaps one of my more sort of general project spaces that I've started running now, where we get sort of different groups together and sort of share what's happening in the market and what individual projects are looking to do. Part of my drive for doing that as well is to help, if you like, many of those lost souls who've kind of been a little bit at sea with the terror crash, they're keen to see where to go next. So I try and do as many of those as possible on DeFi. Obviously, you and I have had the pleasure of several of those together recently as well, which have been really enjoyable. So there'll be more of those coming up. I don't see any more speakers stepping up. There were a couple a few minutes ago that they've dropped out. I know that from my own personal experience, Twitter sometimes does rug us, as I was saying at the start. And I think DeFi, you were on and off several times. Yeah, sure. Far away.
36 times trying to get in.
I kept accepting you. I think, what's going on? You're bad signal area. So sorry, Barefoot. Do you want to ask a question?
I just wanted to ask, what is Stargaze's stable coin? Like, do they have their own, or is it USDC or USDT?
That's a really good question. They have the Stars token.
I want to get into other, like a newer blockchain, like what you guys are saying too, but I don't want to get rugged again. You know what I mean? Like, Luna hurt me pretty bad.
You'll have any of the stable coins available on Cosmos, so because you're dealing with the Atom, the Cosmos system. So
wait, Stargaze is Cosmos?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, I got Atom. I got some of that already. I didn't even know.
So you're already in. Yep. You're good.
And actually, I think that's a really important part of the education process of that awareness that there is, you know, the IBC backing and everything else to Stargaze, and obviously there's a number of other Cosmos chains that are developing their NFT capabilities. I think ultimately, sort of branching out a little bit, you can see where multi-chain opportunities are going to spring up in the future. And I think that's something that I've explored on some of my other sort of futurology type spaces as well. And the more chains that we're in, and the more ability we have to port NFTs, the less likely we are, touch wood, to have the sorts of catastrophic effects that the many projects experience with Terra. I'm sure we're all multi-chain, and certainly more so than ever.
And you know, that's one of the like huge points about what ultimately started the conversation about moving to Stargaze. For when I started talking, I was in a meeting with Hooligan Tweets and another team that was asking us, you know, like some questions, and it caused me to dive a little bit more deeper into, you know, what is the potential behind it. And it's so much bigger than what we see on the surface, this just the stars, because it is a Cosmos, IBC backed chain. You are really reaching massive potential people that are, you know, just going to learn about stars and the opportunity there from being part of the IBC. So that was another huge reason why I strongly recommended to our team the kind of making the decision to move to stars. That was like one of the things I first brought up, like what brought me to it. And then, yeah, using their actual, like, it's a simple, smooth, I've minted like 15 mints over there, and it's just been.
How do you get a stars? Where do you buy it, or where do you trade for it?
The Osmo Swap, right? Or is it, what's it called? Is it the Osmo Swap or something like that? We'll have a link in our Discord for the swaps. There's two easy swaps for it, and you can do it right from the is it the Atom? You know, the Osmos shop. I think it's that one.
Yeah, no, I get it. So just go to the Osmos trade site, and it'll okay.
Yep, and you'll need to make sure you have Atom or Osmos in your wallet to be able to do the trade. So because they use Osmos for the gas, right? So you might need to have either that or
You can get some good trade on that Osmos coin. Like, I don't know too much about it, but I know on some like a DeFi apps, you get up to like 70-80%, like even 100, like what is that ROI on staking. So I definitely need to learn more about this Osmos.
Yeah, so like I had to grab, and that's what I did. I just grabbed some Osmos and some Atom when I switched and moved some funds over, and then I was just dropping in and buying stars. I'd, you know, swap out whenever I saw a mint coming up. I buy a whole bunch of stars because I'm also watching stars to see if they're fluctuating up or down, see if I can take advantage of playing that as well, buying low and then minting, you know, and then but they've been hanging right around that. I think free is 0.03 right now. I haven't looked in a day or two, but there's so many opportunities, and that's one of, thanks for bringing it to the table, the top of the feed there, Subutera. Just remind me of.
And then
so
how much is how much is 777 stars? Like, what does that equal to in US?
$24.
24?
Yeah, about $24, $25. Yeah.
So about like 30. We'll just round up 30, make it easier. So yeah, I need about $30 to get one. I got you guys.
Yeah, but in the less than that, the gas fees are very small, bro.
3 to 1200, so you can mint max. Not financial, but just a degen.
And again, I think that's something that's really appealing. I steered away from ETH because of the at the time gigantuan gas fees and really off-putting pricing. And that's one of the things I really liked about Terra was you could get some really cool mints for, you know, $25 or less. And here, I think Stargaze, and I think you're pitching it at a nice level of you can go in, you can grab several, and I like that. Because again, for me personally, and nothing against the projects, I wish them all the best. I am a big fan of Stone Ducks, but when I was minting my mint for being a holder on the old chain, it was a real shock paying about $14, and that's actually quite low gas for ETH. But you're like, oh my god, I was used to paying, you know, a couple of cents in Terra, and it makes such a difference. I've just put something into the Discord. If anyone else wants to ask any questions and they don't want to step up and speak, you know, give you guys another minute or so. There was a question earlier about how soon do you need to? Yeah, sorry, go on.
I got one last question before I'm going to sign off. What wallet are you guys like? Is it MetaMask?
Kepler
wallet. 100%.
The best.
I'll probably have to like DM you and get the info on that one, Jedi.
If you don't know where,
if you join the Discord, if you join the Discord, all the information's on there.
Yeah, save it, make it easy.
Okay. I'll just join back up. I left when all the stuff happened. I left a lot of Discord, you know what I mean? So I just need to get back to the ones that I want.
Fair enough, man. Yeah, just join the Discord. We've got a dedicated page on there for it. It's Stars Help. It's really helpful. We've got a couple of ways to actually gain your stars. So yeah, please do join, buddy.
Oh yeah, thanks, man. Fuck yeah.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Barefoot. And obviously, my DMs are open if you want any advice on the many moving parts that are happening at the moment. So I can see. I can see Barto is furiously typing. I don't think there's anything in particular. Just agreeing on the fact that Kepler is the best wallet. I think with the demise of the Terra wallet, which I did love, I would agree. I'm not a fan of MetaMask. It's painful. But it's kind of, again, it's all those things that I didn't
use
like.
Trust Wallet for everything. And I've done that for like the last 2-3 years because of shitcoin trading back in the day.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll have a chat offline because I hate MetaMask. I don't know if anyone else shares that sentiment.
Same. I'd never use my MetaMask. My Trust Wallet is linked to my MetaMask, so I can use it if I have to, but I'm Trust Wallet all the way if I can.
Yeah, just for me, I just find it just a painful experience. It's and also MetaMask is great. If you ever want help on Twitter, just put help MetaMask and you'll just get loads of bots. Which is good fun if you ever want to do that. It's really, really odd. Yes, my friend helped me get my MetaMask funds back. And yeah, of course you did. all good. Okay, well, I'm very happy to wrap things up. As I say, we are the 9th of June today. So we're just under 2 weeks away from, no, sorry, just under 3 weeks away from the mint date. Obviously, lots of exciting things going on until then.
I will no doubt be very soon writing my next loop articles. I haven't done one for a few days. It's been a bit of a hectic time, been doing lots of threads, just trying to help people keep track of the projects and where they're going. But I'll certainly be following up on some of the news that we've uncovered in today's session. And obviously, as always, I always close on this one. Thanks again to Terra Spaces. I can't emphasize it enough. And anyone who's listened to me on regular occasions will know I always embarrass Finn. I don't know if he's actually on the space tonight. So I know he sometimes records four or five at the same time. But no, he does a superb job. And anyone who can sort of help support, donate, always appreciated. And as for me, I shall be back again soon with another Spaces. I've enjoyed this Thursday night bonus for me, and it's been really good fun talking with friends old and new. We know we did have several speakers, some of whom I think have dropped out post their contributions. I can see Barefoots looks like you've gone now as well, and Takia, who had some really interesting contributions. I think we had an earlier speaker as well who was desperately trying to get on, but I think they were having connectivity issues. So thank you everyone as always. Leave the last word to the rest of the panel, and then we'll close out.
I'll go first. Guys, thank you for coming and joining in this AMA. We are going to be holding several AMAs from here, from now until Mint. And we will be having guest speakers, just like we did with the Super Terra. I know it was last minute, but thank you for hosting this space today. But we have got a few more guest speakers in the same timeline. I think the biggest takeaway for me right now is the engagement we're getting now that we're on Stargaze. And I think what we're seeing is, because majority of our community was Luna-based, and we're starting to see re-engagement with each of them people. And I think, like say, from that terrible time that they've had in May the 11th, we've come, everyone's starting to come back around and starting to gain a little bit more confidence in within the crypto space and within, like I say, within certain blockchains and certain communities. So it's really nice that we're starting to see that kind of emergence again. We were, like I say, quite quiet in Discord in times when obviously a lot of people were hurt in that period, but we're starting to see that kind of blood come back into the community, and we're starting to see that real emphasis of, you know, community involvement. And that's that note I'd like to end it there for myself, is just thank you guys for spending your time and having a little listen of what we're doing at the moment. Like you said, there's plenty more alpha to come in the next AMAs and where we are with our project, and hopefully we'll be able to share more in terms of what we're doing in the project. And also, I think another big thing we just want to kind of mention about, we are doing more of a treasury rather than a DAO, just because of the legalities behind things. And I think people might have wanted to ask the question about that, but that's the reason why we want to kind of go down that route, because we don't see the benefits of something that you know, at the end of the day could have some legal ramifications against us. So hopefully that's where we are with our project right now. Thank you for attending. I'll pass it on to the next person that wants to speak and say their piece.
Yeah, guys, thank you very much for attending the call today. Really great to have you all on board. Super Terra, as always, bro, you're very helpful. We've had a couple of AMAs before, but again, thank you for hosting today. I hope to speak to you all soon in our coming up AMAs. Thank you.
Dude, thanks everybody. Peace, love, and may the only thing higher than the Jedi be your portfolio.
Brilliant. Thanks, everyone. An absolute pleasure to host, and thank you for inviting me to do so. Thank you. Thanks again.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, have a great rest of your day, everyone.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Space Ape Society AMA, hosted by Super Terra, recorded on Thursday, June 9th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support.
Put your hands up like you got a couple questions. Ain't no misdirection, just a bunch of flexing. All aggressive, insane from all directions. Smoke rolls in when I start a session. Blank canvas, blaze up the handlers. Rocking back and forth like I got the van stuck. Don't grind the clutch, mind ya hush. Put
your mask on and don't touch the antlers. Feeling untouchable when I'm on the verse, but in the universe I'm just writing some words, enticing these nerds while I'm laying out my memoirs. Like, remember when I had to fight the centaur? I'm a book nerd, let me take you on the journey. Lost in the labyrinth, searching out the lost fern. For certain got the taxes included, acting like a writer never felt secluded. Shit and line them up, just another fixed game of try my luck. Go lighten up, dog, it could always be worse. Unless you're in the back of a hearse, then you're dead, or putting in new speakers. It's a toss-up, driver or just tweakers. Don't stress, yo, I've done the research. Living life like a bunch of fucking lemurs. It's a remake off the cutting floor. We take a little bit of poison and put it in the cheesecake. Tastes great, less filling, less stress, more killing. As he blew the cornerstone out the building and the blocks came tumbling down, all humble. Feels like we're drowning in a little puddle. Rebuttal, I should be taking off in the shuttle, getting high in space with the Hubble.
Imagine a world in which an old dying man's last dying wish is fulfilled.
Alexa? Can you play that one sci-fi space where he clowned all the Safe Moon and XRP bag holders and then told everyone to buy Luna because it was going to 1,000?
I'm confused why we're not talking about the fact that you can easily, like, 300x your money on XRP. Like,
you know, I son, I remember a time. Alexa, enough. I'm trying to reminisce now. I remember a time before Terra Spaces existed, when things that were said on random Twitter spaces would just get lost to the proverbial black hole of time.
That's the best bet.
Why isn't Luna in wind turbine?
Hey, guys,
I'm reading all about these wind
guys,
turbines.
Guys, do you mind if I explain Cardano a little bit? Because I've been in Cardano since like 2018 and I can give you a full breakdown.
Just when you thought it was safe to shill shitcoins.
Oh my god, you guys. I don't know what to do. So much blood. It's so red.
From the creators of Your Exit Liquidity, in association with We All Love to Hear Ourselves Talk, Inc. For more information, go to terraspaces.org/donate.